This episode of Film Sack is brought to you by Tommy John. Tommy John makes underwear that keeps everything in place, whichever way a man moves. For 20% off your first purchase, go to TommyJohn.com/FilmSack and use the promo code FilmSack. That's TommyJohn.com/FilmSack and the promo code FilmSack.
Solving the following riddle will reveal the awful secret behind the universe.
Assuming you do not go utterly mad in the attempt.
Say you have an axe, just a cheap one from Home Depot. On one bitter winter day, you use said axe to behead a man. Don't worry, the man's already dead.
Check between the sausage and the bun. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack episode, 305, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian Nasty Car Barf Dunaway.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, hi.
Hey.
Brian dies at the start. Well, that's all. What? Wait, did I project those nipples on that Buddha, or were they already there?
Wait. Was there a Buddha?
I don't remember the Buddha in the Chinese restaurant? They Chinese?
No. Oh, sort of.
You didn't see the Buddha? I mean, it was like one of those pornographic Buddhas. You know, you get the usual kind of characterized Buddhas. It's kind of chubby, but this one had like full-on nipples.
Like nipples.
Out.
Chilly in that Chinese restaurant.
Yeah, like a cold restaurant day there for the Buddha boobs. Yeah. I gotcha.
Right.
You had me at Brian Dies at the Star. That was fantastic. also with us, Randy, he has all the sauce, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Hi. Hi.
Did I ever tell you guys about the time I worked for a government department of nonsense history?
Nope.
It's a true story. There's this department where when inquiries come in about past events and we have no real story for them, we just make up a bunch of crap and throw it together. So, you know, it goes like this. In 1948, Seven Worm visited Japan. Or, you know, as they say in Louisiana, the legend of the Raven's Roar stands upon someone else's legs. It was a sweet gig until everybody stopped caring whether we made sense at all. Is any of this a cohesive story? Who cares?
There were a lot of dumb things like that. We'll get to that. I have so much to say about that. Finally, with us, Brian, he was a black guy the entire time, Ibbot.
completely ignoring the real ending of the film. You've got to appreciate the pseudo-honesty of the title, and I wish they would do that more often. Like Johnny Mnemonic could have been, you will walk out halfway through. Or Back to the Future could have been called Marty's Girlfriend Looks Different in the Second Movie. And then if you have a movie called Goose Dies in the Middle, well, that could either be Top Gun or Sully.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
That's really good.
Wow.
Only to really follow this film, they all need to be incorrect.
Yeah. Like, right. They need to be fake spoilers. Like,
But that isn't
like
the title.
Tom Cruise doesn't run. Mm. Or
not to get too far into the plot just yet, but isn't the title supposed to tease you with the fact that what is death? Isn't that what it's supposed to do? Isn't the title accurate, even though it doesn't happen literally?
Well,
but it kind of does.
The only purpose of this title is to keep you from turning off the movie in the last 20 minutes. That's the only meaning of it.
Well, actually, there's somewhat truth to that. According to the trivia, so this obviously it's based on a book, and people will shout up and down that the book is far better. Mm-hmm. According to the way the book was released, it was released chapter by chapter, but the title was released first. Mm. And so it was basically a way to keep people coming back for the next chapter, waiting for John to die.
Mm-hmm. And it
delivers somewhat in the movie. Once again, we usually talk about the actors first, but since this title is so tantalizing, he does die in the middle, and the question
Oh, so it's a lie twice.
No, he's dead the whole time. He's dead the whole time.
A question about the axe and how much you can replace the axe, which is an old philosophical question, and it still be the axe, is the question of when John died. Is his body separated from his soul? Is his body separated from his mind? So there's a lot of deep meaning. How well is it delivered? Whoa. We're going to talk about that very shortly.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. But I'm telling you right now, the whole point of the movie, unless I'm crazy, I thought this was obvious. He is dead because the way the other guy, he communes with ghosts in a way that they don't seem dead to him because he didn't know that Paul Giamatti was a black dude the entire time. Well, because he was dead and a ghost the whole time. Like, he's not even recognizing it when people are in this state. His friend John is dead. It's just he's hanging with him. That's all.
Right. He's projecting
I took it as John died, but bent reality with the time travel business and is alive in this reality.
And doesn't the story, isn't John and Wong, isn't John and Wong good buddies? And when their adventures end, it will be when John dies. So, I mean, there's an overarching story. So,
okay, so you're saying the movie
John
ends,
dies in the sequel?
The movie ends before the story ends, before the story is complete. Okay.
When do we really die? There's a lot of questions.
He died in the police station when he had the convulsions. That was the end of him. And then when he started talking to him through a hot dog and all that shit, these were just manifestations of the good stories.
Good stories inspire dialogue. Is this a good story?
No.
Bad story
is
also inspired.
No.
No, I think when you're trying to make sense of something that in and of itself doesn't necessarily make sense, I think that's a lot of dialogue, too, that maybe isn't good.
Yeah. It's a really good point. I'll bet you Scott Fletcher has a thing or two to say. We're going to let him have his way. This will basically describe the film, and then we will dissect it as we often do. Here you go.
John dies at the end. A new street drug that sends its users across time and dimensions has one drawback. Some people return as no longer human! Can two college dropouts save humankind from this silent, otherworldly invasion?
I didn't get that they were college dropouts from that.
Yeah,
did you?
I didn't get any of that from the movie, but I mean, I didn't try.
Well, yeah, they allude to the fact that the story that he is telling starts 2 years prior when they meet Robert Marley, and it was after high school, and John was in a band, and it is alluded that they bypass their education to get right into the business of living.
It's just so weird. It's weird that it made the synopsis, though. You know,
it is weird.
Mm-hmm. Such a small,
because it's not clear.
Yeah, it's a small thing, but there's your setup. My thing is that there are, you know, we do Chick in the Bucket occasionally, and we'll play this. There are about 28 chicks in the bucket in this movie.
Right, I actually wrote down
it's
a couple
like a
of
whole
them.
KFC box worth of chicks and buckets.
I'm gonna give you one, just the obvious pack. One. The one the movie bucket. Starts with is the Nazi getting his head cut off out in the yard. What was that even about?
That was intentional. That was to set up the idea of the philosophical question of how much can change and still be the thing. So that was to wet your palate with that vignette was set to wet your palate for the idea of that. Yes, Randy, what would you say?
It felt very much like, oh, here's this funny story we've got about a guy going back to the hardware store because the axe keeps breaking. Like,
absolutely.
We're just gonna attach this to the beginning of our movie because that is a funny, quirky thing. And
I was curious how much of that was Don Casarelli, who was involved with this in Phantasm, and how much was that was with.
Well, he wasn't just involved in Phantasm. He wrote and directed all the Phantasms.
Yeah, right. When I say involved,
If you start out with a completely divorced from the rest of the film sequence, I'm going to assume the rest of the film is like that. That the rest of the film is a bunch of vignettes like that, or, you know, stories, skits, and this kind of thing. And so that's the way I'm treating it. Suddenly he's in a diner talking to Paul Giamatti. Okay, this is one thing that's happening. Suddenly he's at a party talking to Bob Marley. This is another thing that's happening. You know what I'm saying? And I am not putting them together. And I think that's a fault of the film.
Now, did you not put them together at the end where you're not able to rewind your mind to go, well,
There's some like, point like where I, there's some point where I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I guess they're trying to tell me a cohesive story here, but it's kind of a little too late for me to care, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
when I'm out in the lobby getting popcorn and on my way out the door.
It's just not clear. It's not clear what the timeline's not clear, and I know that's intentional to some degree.
Right.
But it's too much. It's too disorienting. Like, yeah.
Did you have the same feeling about Memento, the first watch?
No, I loved Memento from second one.
Yeah,
because that's handled really well.
Sit down after Memento and go, oh, and put everything together, or did you have to go back and watch?
No, I had to watch it again. But that's what's great about Memento is you.
Yeah, you get more things with every watching of Memento, and it was a huge like. We went and saw Memento, and then we went to dinner afterwards. And I remember the entire time at dinner, we're like piecing it all back together. We're like, okay, yeah, so here's how he did this, and so he never really even caught the guy, or he already killed the guy, and he just keeps this up to keep it going.
Yeah,
right. And I wanna make it very clear, I am not against stories that are told out of order. I'm not bothered by.
So you like Pulp Fiction?
Yes, I love Pulp Fiction, and I love Memento, and so on and so on. It's that this feels like it's trying to be derivative of those works. Right. And
did you ever see the original Phantasms?
No.
Are you familiar? Have you looked at his body of work?
I saw the first one. We've seen the knives. For some reason, I thought we watched it for this, but we haven't.
We've seen Bubba Hotep, and that's it. That's the only other movie he made that we've seen, yeah. I think. I love Bubba Hotep. I'm a big fan of that.
The setup narration thing. Where I think it's done the best is Ricky Jay at the beginning. It's like the second time I think in a month on FilmSec I've brought up Ricky Jay. Mm-hmm. But he does this narration at the beginning of Magnolia explaining dramatic irony.
Right.
Like the scuba diver that gets really scooped up as.
And Magnolia desperately needs that. Can you imagine Magnolia without some extra explanation?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love Magnolia. I think it works better. I think it works better with the narration.
Randy likes
it,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're both liking it.
Page. Oh yeah. Okay.
So
what about Vanilla Sky?
Hold on. Back up. Vanilla Sky, similar movie in my mind. I don't remember a thing about that movie, but that's the feeling I had in this. Was just like, you're just doing it for the sake of doing it. It's not right. That you can be, there's no, like, give me something cohesive with your weirdness. Like, even Naked Lunch is less weird than this in terms of, like, its disjointedness. Like, I need a little structure in my life. It's just a tiny bit.
This movie made me want to go back and watch a little film called The Tao of Steve. Mm.
Right.
Ever heard of it?
No.
It's a really fun little movie that's otherwise forgettable, but it's got a, you know, same thing where you don't really know any of the actors except the one, in this case, Paul Giamatti. And, you know, it's a weird story, and it's about a guy. My complaint about this movie, like my biggest complaint about John Dies at the End, I never really figured out who John was. I hate that the sort of all white bros look alike thing, but I like it just, you know what I mean? Like, I knew one of them was John. I knew that.
Funny. That is hilarious. Tina, so Tina, millennials.
It's funny you say that. Tina came in while I was watching this and said, oh, wow. Is that like, so it's the same guy as John? And it's like, no, those are two different actors. They look different. She's like, oh, okay. And then she left again.
I know.
Her review is my favorite.
It was like a Tyler Durden thing where Dave is John and John is Dave. And
I had that thought too along the way that John was, especially when you first realize the movie's going to go off the rails constantly. There's a thing where they go see a girl and they go down in the basement.
Yeah.
And by the way, oh my gosh, is she a bundle of tropes?
She's also a giant chick in the bucket.
She's a bundle of snakes.
She's a trope in the bucket, really.
Yeah. And that scene goes all trauma, and there's, you know, a self-constructing meat man and so on.
Yeah.
But that's the point where I realized, oh, I can't really even trust this movie to give characters that are characters. Like,
now,
for all I know, these two guys are one person or they don't exist or whatever, you know?
Just a collection of bees.
Well, see, that's a good question. I don't think it was intentional. I personally did. I recognized Rob Mays, John versus the other actor. I recognized the difference between the two. But it is interesting that you should say that they cast two people that were, you know, not exactly alike. One of them's a little bit more idealized, ruggedly handsome, and one's a little bit more middle of the road. Because isn't John? John could be looked at in some ways as a projection of what Dave saw. So I don't know if that was intentional. Now you get me thinking maybe there was more there, but with the casting, maybe not, though.
I'm curious as to how you recognize Rob Mays. Was his fine work on the 90210 remake in 2012?
You laugh.
Or his appearance on the client list?
You laugh, but those are both things that I watched. So.
Yes, we do laugh.
Why do you say I laugh, but I'm
just saying.
No, we do laugh. You're right. We do laugh at that.
Right.
So this movie did 60% of Rotten Tomatoes, came out in 2012. Right? Did I have that right? 2013. It's actually fairly new.
Oh, this is 2012 in IMDb.
Rotten Tomatoes says 2013, but that, who knows? Maybe that's a DVD release or something. But
January 2013. Okay, so it's funny. It says John dies at the end, 2012, but underneath it says January 25th, 2013, released in the USA. So maybe released somewhere else before.
Weird, I don't know. So anyway, I just wanted to point out.
Cannes Film Festival release or something.
I believe if you take it, I could be wrong about this, so correct me if I'm wrong. But I think if you say, all right, where are we now? We're 2016. Where was this 3 years ago? I think this is the most recent thing we've ever seen relative to when we're recording. So like
it's got to be really close.
Even the Expendables were later than that when we did them.
Wow.
Oh, no. Okay. No way. No. When we watched Expendables 2, it was only a year after it came out.
Are you sure?
I'm positive, because we talked about it over and over. Like, wow, well, this is, well, will we ever do this again? Where
this is the freshest meat we've ever eaten.
Yeah.
Right. Speaking of rotten fresh meat, the Zootopia, since Disney made a deal with Netflix, Zootopia is up for sacking, whether we decide to do it or not. I'm just saying, it's an 80s buddy cop movie brought to animation form.
And it's only 6 months old.
It's a great movie. Is it sackable? I don't know. We'd have to have that conversation. We'd have to have that conversation. I don't know where that word came from. All right. So there's some other interesting bits of trivia here. The uniforms. And you know what? I knew this when I saw them. And when I read this, it was like the greatest confirmation of all time. At the end, where John doesn't die or is dead or whatever. They're walking around the overgrown grass of the schoolyard thing, and the time's moving faster in
that
dimension.
On the alternate reality.
Yeah. Those guys in the weird pods that land and then talk to them too much.
Yeah.
Their uniforms were immediately familiar to me. It's like, I have seen these.
They're familiar.
And I went, I think these are like, they look like the, yes, we are. Happy.
Galaxy Quest, right?
Oh, my gosh. Really?
So I looked it up, and sure enough, it says the uniforms worn by two members of the Human Liberation Army were not made for this film. They originally appeared as the Thermian outfits in the film Galaxy Quest.
Whoa. Oh,
that was so funny.
Okay, that's crazy. I did not read that trivia, and that's what I thought of, too.
Yeah, expect them to punch their chest and go, yes, we are hoping you will save our planet. Anyway, there's that. Also, the Mall of the Dead sequence was filmed in the same mall that producer Roman Perez saw in the earlier how do you say that guy's name?
Casacarelli? Costanelli, is that how you say it?
How do you say it? Coscarelli.
Coscarelli.
Anyway.
Hey, Coscarelli, get in here.
Phantasm.
Sounds like one of the sweat hogs from Welcome Back, Kotter.
It does.
But, hey, Coscarelli.
The original Phantasm in 79 was filmed in that same mall, but at the time, that mall was like in business and had like people in it and was like not an old burned out thing.
I tried to avoid most trivia and analysis of this movie.
Must be other things too, because that was a very recognizable mall.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like a small ass mall in a lot of ways. Like every mall looks like that.
Mall. We're going down to the small ass mall.
No, not the small ass mall. Like the mall ass mall. Oh my gosh, I love that guy. I love a burned out, disgusting, haunted old mall. I think that is the coolest setting for anything.
It helped a lot of these little things like the mall and the burnout mall and the cell phones and the coins that Giamonte had in his pocket were all to point this was at 1999. The time frame for what was going on was 1999.
It was mentioned a lot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and they had flip phones. There's no way this was 2013. No,
they weren't smartphones. Mm-hmm. They were dumb phones. I was wondering if it was supposed to, you know, that Robert Marley mentioned at the beginning about the nuclear bombs that were going to hit America, and it very much felt like he was recreating or recalling, you know, that fear of Y2K and the 2000 being the end of the world, which made me question, is this even supposed to be of our dimension? Are we looking at another dimension that they exist in? So I thought there was a lot to...
Who knows? But listen, the dimension that seemed like the most fun was the congregation in the church full of naked ladies.
That seemed all right. Korok's world, those masks, man. I was trying to find those masks online because I was thinking, I want to be that for Halloween because those things are freaking me out.
Oh, the main dude? It's like, it's almost like that mask was specifically made for his face to make him...
Right.
Yeah, it was such a cool mask.
It worked really well.
Yeah, those were neat. That just whole thing was weird. Him making the reference that, oh no, you know what? This is the thing that makes it seem like it's not in 99 is they made a reference to the Eyes Wide Shut movie.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
When did that come out?
That was 2000 something. I don't know what it was.
2000 something.
We'd have to look it up.
That's a year.
1999.
Oh, it came out in 99?
1999. Yeah. Right. Oh, even better. Right. It would have been that just confirmed.
That was 99?
99.
That was 99. Yeah. Kubrick died in. He died in 99, didn't he? He died really close to...
Are you telling me we are nearly 20 years after that movie?
Right?
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is a young man.
That seems...
yeah, he died in March 1999.
That Cooper's seems good. Crazy to me. I can't believe we're creeping up on that. Okay, that weirded me out. Even hear that. Oh, no, John dies at the end. Anyway, so what else? there was some other piece. Brian found it. The novel was published online, actually, one chapter at a time, and it kept people hooked. You were talking about that.
I feel like it sort of made cracked.com. Like, this is the person
who... Is that how it was released? Was on Cracked?
Yeah.
I think
Oh, right, because David's optioned this off. No, David Wong, the creator, not his real name. He had actually got a deal for the story before he came on with Cracked. So he's kind of always kept the two separated.
But yeah. he's the person who wrote so much for Cracked when it was really making its place on the internet.
Yeah, it was no longer just the shitty Mad Magazine ripoff of the 70s and 80s. It was now a website people liked, respected, and laughed at. And he was kind of at the pinnacle of that. That is true.
You mean the Mad Magazine knockoff, correct?
That's what it was.
And I like his writing. I think he's a really good writer. I think he's funny. I like that style of sort of like saying, are you serious in other ways, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I want to argue the thing about a good book not becoming a good movie because I know it always works in reverse, right? I can point you to great movies and great books, right? Mm-hmm. But it's really easy to watch a movie like this and go, wow, I'm not going to even try to read this book, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree with you for the most part, but I kind of got to disagree with you. I hate books based on movies. I especially hate the ones with the actors' faces on the front.
Right. The movie poster basically on the front.
But I'm saying, when I said reverse, I meant like you watch a great film. Yeah, and you find out, it's based on a novel. I'm going to read that novel.
I'm down with that.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah,
this movie felt like
novelizations on the whole. Novelizations typically suck.
Sure,
generally speaking. Derivative. Yeah, generally speaking. There's a few exceptions. Some people, some fans of our show have a whole podcast around this where they read novelizations from films and then review.
Oh, really?
Them. Yeah, I forgot what it's called. I got to find out. Or if they're still doing it, I don't know if they're still
Booksack.
Booksack. Yeah.
And if they've quit, we're picking it up. Suck it.
Oh, you could not pay me enough to read through like the novel.
I can't be reading the same movies and watching.
Ugh.
I do sometimes read. I'll read the scripts a lot of times if the dialogue and is interesting enough. I will.
Yeah, I mean, we do it. What's funny is we do it with comics all the time, but they're usually not a retelling. It's usually like extra stuff or bonus character info or whatever.
You know where they did that really well?
Yeah, and it's short. Yeah, who's that?
Where they did that really well was, it wasn't a book at all, but it was the radio adaptation of the Star Wars films, the BBC radio adaptation.
Oh, yeah, those were awesome. Because
they were really awesome, and they added all this extra stuff, and it's like, all right, well, this is, you know, again, not a book, but where they where they did take existing material, build some stuff around it, and actually make it feel like, all right, this feels like it was part of the original story. Good job.
I totally agree.
You know what a big crap I took in my pants when I was a kid and I was just flipping through the radio and I accidentally came across that Star Wars on the radio? I was like,
yeah.
Is this?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's so well done.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Yeah. I'd be so, I mean, yeah. I want to be I want to be 12 again. And I want to be 12 again and have that shit happen. By the way, John,
ginormous shit in your pants.
Yes, David Wong looks just like almost like the actor that's playing the David Wong in the movie. It is not his real name, really? Like you said. His real name is Jason Pargan.
Pargan.
He is currently 41 years old. He is, let's see, executive editor at Crack.com. Blah blah blah. Written 3 novels. His second novel. From 2012 is called This Book is Full of Spiders, and his final one is Futuristic Violence and Fancy Suits, which came out last year. People really
he's
like
really
his books.
Good at writing titles.
Yeah. No, his titles are amazing.
He's got an album coming out called Put This CD in the Player.
Yeah. But he's got all kinds of accolades for these books. People love this stuff, so yeah. I may want to check him out.
I actually feel like I just made a joke on the last day it will ever work, and every day in the future someone will go, what's a CD, old man?
Like one of those things you get at the bank,
compact disc.
When was this podcast recorded?
Yeah, no kidding.
1999.
Really dating ourselves.
Last time you bought a CD, like last time you went to buy the Brian Ibbett doesn't count.
Okay,
right. I was gifted 2 CDs yesterday.
Well, actually, that doesn't count.
I didn't purchase it, so that doesn't count. Okay.
So when's the last time you, and that's, you know what? Last time I did was, I have a good one. Yeah. The last one I bought was a few years ago, and it was for the Halloween Diablo 3 soundtrack thing that Russell and those guys put together.
I would note, I have, they're going to all be a video game. CDs, like every video game right, music for whatever reason
totally true.
Yeah.
Video game music comes on CD still.
Sure.
10 years after everybody else went to digital.
Well, it's because we're all getting, you know, collector's editions and things like that, and they're usually packed in there. But like even now, like I'm not going to buy the Legion soundtrack. I listen to it streaming on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever. It's on all those things now, so more and more it's even less and less of the video game soundtracks, but I think that was the last one. But before that, it's been like 15 years or something. Like I just don't buy CDs. Brian, I mean, you don't count because you buy CDs.
Just going to say, like, are we going to maybe count purchases, Brian Ibbett purchases that didn't have to do with Coverville? Like buy the CD because it's like, all right, this is a band that I want the CDs from, not that I want to get. I don't want to get their stuff only digital. I want a physical CD.
I would say that you are still a special case. However, that does make it closer to the thing.
I'm a special case.
Because you would do that you'd find a tape and go, oh my gosh, I can't believe I found this Elvis Costello tape in this box.
Yeah. I'm gonna buy
this.
That's totally true.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, that's great.
The last CD I bought was the newest Garbage album because it's like, I don't want this in digital files only. I want to actually physically own the CD.
Yeah.
But then if we go back, then it was like April, it was Record Store Day.
Is that pure collectorism? Well, you know that thing we have.
He's like an archivist. He's an archivist.
Len Peralta was talking about this online like a week ago. How he just wants to go buy carts for consoles. He just wants to have a freaking cartridge.
I'll tell you what it is for me. It's that I don't trust myself. It's that I've gone into my library and said, oh yeah, I have that awesome Michael Hutchins solo CD called Max Q. Let me look for one of those songs. And then I can't find it in my iTunes library. Like, well, at least I know I have the CD. And then I look in my shelf and I can't find the CD. Mm. And it's like, damn it. If I would have only had the MP3s, I would totally be screwed. I would have lost them and I wouldn't have the original files to re-download.
The way I look at it is very simple. I am all about getting rid of physical crap and having digital stuff. I'm not even talking about having digital files on my computer. I want to stream all of it. I want to rent it. I want Netflix it. I want to not have to have hard drives full of shit or shelves full of shit. I've gotten to a stage in my life where I'm all about that. And that has not always been true for me. I used to be like, give it all to me. But now I'm like, give me less. I want less stuff in my life, and let me just.
Oh, I'm so with
I,
you.
Yeah. I admitted online that I have this fear, and it's like a deep-seated fear that I am going to lose track of a song that I think is like a great song that I want to hear over and over the rest of my life, and I'll never hear it again. Mm-hmm. And so I get the physical thing, right? Like, of course, mm-hmm. If I don't want to ever deal with that, like,
not called in to hypothetical help?
Oh my gosh. the last thing I want is to talk to Terpstra about this, but, but here's the twist. Like, yeah, having a CD collection on the wall would probably fix this, right? Because I could just go, oh, I want to listen to some music. I'll walk over here. Oh yeah, that song, and mm-hmm. play it, right? Uh-huh. Okay. The twist is they're always really popular songs. Like
they're out there.
I'm gonna hear this thing in the mall. Like 5 years. I'm talking about real, like Avicii's Hey Brother or something. Like, I'm going to hear that song. That song's never going away. The rest, something by Maroon 5. It's the rest of my life, you know, mm-hmm. like
you like Maroon 5.
I'm sorry. I'm just throwing out, trying to make What's examples.
Pure example, pure example.
But, nothing, but it's fun to poke the bear.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyway, I don't know what to do with that here, because I don't want the collection. And here I am. I'm a fan of movies, and people keep giving me movies. Like, I have hard copies of so many things.
I have hard copies.
I've never taken the plastic off.
I have some movies coming to you guys this week. In fact, you've all got a box coming full of DVDs. So yeah, it's weird.
See, and that's the other thing, though. Again, when you digitally rent. Batman v Superman, or let's say you really, you know, digitally rent Civil War 2 because you want to see that again.
You mean unlike buying the Blu-ray like you did? Okay, go ahead.
Unlike buying the Blu-ray like I did. Yeah. That's the problem, is that you're not going to get all that great bonus stuff. They still have me hook, line, and sinker with the extra stuff that you get on DVD, on Blu-rays. And it's really come down to me, it's really just the Marvel stuff or the...
And Brian, I just want, for your extra stuff addiction, yeah. I just want to introduce you to this thing called YouTube, because it's really great, and it's been around for a while now.
Hold on. Are all the things that I got on the Blu-ray of Civil War on YouTube? I'm looking at
probably
it right now.
Probably 2 weeks before you got the Blu-ray.
Yeah, probably, right?
A lot of it probably is, but you don't get to watch that. You know, sometimes they'll post it at 480. It won't be like...
Oh yeah.
It won't be at 4K and everything. Well, of course, Blu-rays aren't, but it won't be like, it won't be high quality. It'll be YouTube quality.
Sure.
You know, you're looking for YouTube content right now. The Road to Civil War, that they have two featurettes called The Road to Civil War, one for Iron Man, one for Captain America, is not on YouTube.
Okay. Here's the deal.
More of the deleted scenes.
Here's the deal.
But they will be in a week.
They're not. those things are never, they're never good enough though for me to justify a physical thing that I have to pay $25 for and put on a shelf. Because they're never as good as they promise. Like, sometimes you get some rad Blu-ray with an amazing commentary or some other killer thing. But most of the time, they're kind of bad.
I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to bring up Mad Max Fury Road.
I am okay. I am okay with that movie without it.
Features all that great unedited footage and all that great stuff, the making of. It's good, but again,
I don't need. One of my favorite movies of all time. You know that. 10 years, love it. Best movie ever. I'm a huge fan. I don't need any of that stuff. I'm fine with just the movie. I'm totally fine with it.
Here's what makes me sad. We're less than a week away from Netflix finally releasing Luke Cage. Like, everybody. Next weekend is going to be like Stranger Things was for one weekend 2 months ago, and everybody's
which
going to be
watching. I can't believe is Luke Cage really coming out? Because I haven't opened the IMDb website at all in the last month, and haven't seen that Luke Cage is like wrapped around everything punching through the John Dies at the end.
You know, I was just going to say, Brian, it was really nice of the Luke Cage people to let IMDb borrow the website. Like, you know, it's like the other way around.
Exactly.
I also found out that Tig Notaro did a thing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Google Ads. Yeah. But this Netflix thing is happening. It happens every few weeks. There's an event sort of release where a lot of people all watch the same thing as soon as they can. That isn't coming with any extras ever. You know, ever.
Right. Well, don't say ever, but I know what you mean.
Isn't that weird?
I'm gonna find some. I'm going to find some middle ground.
You're saying you don't think that Netflix in a year, 2 years, is going to release, oh, here's, by the way, here's some deleted scenes from the first season of Daredevil
they
that
could
we
totally
never
do
released.
That. They could totally
and
do
you
that.
Can watch them.
Yeah, they totally could do that.
We're going to turn them into season two.
No. I'm going to say that absolutely that's something Netflix probably will start doing. In fact, I think they're going to start doing it for other films that are not even there, stuff that comes in that has a bunch of extras, and you'll be able to watch those.
And as soon as that happens, then I'm out.
You'll get all you need.
I think I'm in the middle ground of both you guys. You know, one on the Blu-ray only, and one with the streaming only. I like Vudu because they do a little bit of both. It's the medium quality. You can get some pretty decent quality Blu-ray quality, and also. They have a lot of the features with a lot of the movies.
Yeah, same. And also, iTunes and Amazon does this too, by the way. Amazon and iTunes let you download a bunch of extras. Not every time, but some of it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle. But what I usually do now, Brian Ibbett, is I only buy Blu-rays that allow me to access the content through Vudu. So I kind of shelf those items, and then I enjoy my streaming content with no.
Absolutely, yes. If I'm buying the Blu-ray, number one, it's got to have the 3D because I've got the PlayStation 4 3D TV BS that I've used four times since I got
but
it.
But still, just in case. I'll admit it.
I've only used it four times.
I love it.
One of those times was with Fury Road. It's like, oh, this is fantastic. Yeah, another time was with Winter Soldier, and it was also really good.
Yeah.
But and then it's also got to have digital. I want the iTunes download. I don't want I have to be connected to Crackle. When they give you the choice, always iTunes. For me.
Right. I always go Vudu.
Vudu's pretty good.
Isn't it a shame that with each passing day, iTunes becomes more and more of its own walled garden? Like
it's always
instead of the
then,
opposite, like if only all of this time we were buying into a slowly developing global standard rather than we're buying into something that's becoming less and less transferable and less, you know, understandable by the people who don't use it.
I don't know about that. It's no different than Amazon or anybody else. They've all got their own little, you know, lockdown stuff. It's the same.
Yeah, but iTunes is so many people I know are like, are you in iTunes?
Well,
Disney's bypassing this by not being the distributor straight to the audience, which they do as well. They distribute through iTunes and Vudu and several other services, Amazon.
So everybody.
If you purchase a Disney film,
you get it everywhere. Yeah, but outside of that, like if you're talking about desktop iTunes, which is a whole different animal, and if you're on the Mac, that's not really a problem. Mac version's always been fine. PC version sucks eggs.
Just went all lurch on us.
Yeah,
but people watching that stuff on their Apple TVs is fine. Like, there's nothing weird about that. You just download
totally
and watch
fine.
It.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the overall ecosystem. There's iTunes is the division. Like, everybody comes and goes from Amazon Prime, right? But iTunes, you're either stuck in there for the last 10 years and for the rest of your life, or you got out.
Like, well, if you treat it like I do, that everything's ephemeral, then it's no big deal. Like when I watched an entire season of, or this season that just ended of Mr. Robot, and I watched it all on Amazon Prime, and I watched it on my iPad. So I've got a lot of mixed, you know, ecosystems going on there. And I loved every second of it, and I own it. But I'm not in some rush to like, all right, now let's get this archived and cataloged. And who gives a shit? It's just I'm done with it now, and now I can move on to whatever's next, and I don't have to think about it.
Yeah, you can watch streaming movies on Netflix instead, like John Dies at the End.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, but that's exactly my point.
Kelly always tries to bring it back, steer us back onto the road.
I don't have to organize any of it. I just can live. I can just live my life, and it's freeing.
Hey,
it's great.
Hey, man, what nationality most likely to freak you out? I mean, who has the creepiest persona? I mean, Jamaicans in this film, they freaking me out, man.
Yeah, they get
Jamaican,
a bad rap.
Big nostril hole, nose face.
And they got a bad rap because they do a lot, you know, they're famous for the voodoo.
Voodoo.
Yeah,
the voodoo that they do. So is there any other nationalities that just freaks you guys out? Like, ever like a... There is. What kind of nationality? Let's get racial
let's
here.
Get our xenophobe on.
Really,
right, let's
get really, xenophobe. Really Aryan Germanic types.
Yeah, I was just going to say Germans.
Right. Oh, it's because I grew up at the very southern tip of Texas, and I never saw them except occasionally on TV. Like you know, the lead in, you know, Face from A-Team or whatever, like people who just like, I didn't see them. And then I got out in the real world and came across, you know, Nordic looking people. And I'm like,
yeah, I'm the same with the Germans.
Nordic people
can't do the Germans. And I think it was, so Brian, you said, is there a movie? Yeah. I could point to like Marathon Man and that horrible dentist German guy.
Right,
who was pulling pulling his teeth out?
I would think it's also the blonde witness dude from Die Hard.
Oh yeah, he got me pretty good too. The Germans are scary, or they can be. I know plenty of Germans now that don't scare me at all, but I still have this stereotype in my head that Germans are scary.
Is there a positive representation in a movie of Jamaicans other than Cool Runnings?
I'm sure there is.
Randy says, I'm sure there is, which means no, Brian.
There has to be.
Well, hold on. Let's think about that. All right. Got one. We were just talking about, well, maybe it wasn't Jamaican. Well, anyway,
there's a couple of James Bond movies where he goes to the Caribbean and Caribbean guy is his ally, but that guy always dies.
Yeah, but
that
then always living,
right. But then there's also, Live and Let Die.
Yeah, dude.
Right.
Yeah.
The opposite.
Yeah. Live and Let Die is freaky as shit. Those
Jeffrey Holder, the old cola nut 7-Up dude.
Yeah, I don't freaky, like, man. I don't like those guys at all.
The 7-Up commercials are a positive representation.
Hey, did you guys know that Garrosh
wasn't Jamaican, was he? I mean, the Jeffrey Holden or Holder ones were, but the not the Make 7-Up Yours.
Make 7-Up Yours.
Make 7 up yours.
Yeah, you got to put the right emphasis. But did you know? I know this is a bit of a tearaway, but Grommash Hellscream, the voice of Grommash Hellscream, is the voice of the weird one-eyed creature dude in the dimension in this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I knew it sounded familiar, so I looked him up. And that guy's busy voice actor extraordinaire. He is in everything, but specifically, he's, you know, what will this do for us, Gul'dan? That whole thing in the opening cinematic for Warlords of Draenor is absolutely that guy. And I thought, I know this voice. I know this voice. And sure enough, that's the guy.
Let's talk about the costuming real quick while we're on Korok.
Touched back on the movie we're talking
about. Right. Korok was really, that was a really weird ocean of blobbiness. But it was based on, I guess, the bestiality derivative of what they had done for that society.
Was it? I don't know.
Yeah, that's how they split off from our world.
It just looked like somebody had gotten a hold of 3D Studio Max circa 1998 and made a thing.
What about Meat Man?
Meat Man, stupid.
Meat Man I kind of liked. As far as special effects goes, that was...
very Sam Raimi, I thought.
Yes.
Well, yeah. Sam Raimi is very...
Dead Field this whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you ever... Well, we talked about Phantasm. But I'm telling you, Sam Raimi does a great job, but I feel like that was already there, and the director had already been doing
this kind of stuff. Phantasm predates like Evil Dead and all that?
Oh yeah. Oh, and totally does.
I know it does by time, but I mean in theme and the kind of stuff he pulls off. Okay. Interesting.
Right.
I've never seen Phantasm. Why have we never seen one of those? He's making a new one. There's a new one coming out.
There's some new stuff coming out, and I'm a big Phantasm fan, and I think it's an interesting series.
Is it ghosts and shit or what? What do you got there?
Yeah, it's ghosts and shit.
Oh man. All right, so look at his here are the movies. See if you've seen any of these. So Bubba Hotep, we've seen that here on the show. Four Phantasm movies. He did something called Survival Quest. Don't know what that is. To get to your epic weapon there for the hunters, I guess. Anyway, the Phantasm 2, or sorry, the Beastmaster. Remember? Okay, we've all seen Beastmaster,
now,
right?
Beastmaster mm-hmm. we saw. Right, mm-hmm. Remember, it was kind of that feel as well, that weird bestiality weird thing going
on. He's into
on.
The animals, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. And then he made Jim the World's Greatest. Don't know what that is.
Never saw that.
Yeah. So anyway, seems like a guy we should visit more often, and at least one of these Phantasm movies ought to get done.
Yeah, for sure.
At some point.
The first one.
Just Phantasm.
I think the second one is more fun, but the first one was good.
What's with the second one? Just a more fun sequel? Like more... I don't know. Fantasmic.
Plus, it was 88. It was a little bit more within our time frame. The first one was, 78, 79 or something?
79,
and the second the second one was a little later, and it was a little more, to me, it was a little more
will
fun.
Will we be able to understand what's going on if we don't see
Probably, yes. They recap Phantasm 1 really quickly, 10 years later.
I was thinking about that when I read that Barbershop 2 is going streaming, because I was like, are we going to sack Barbershop 2? What if we don't understand it?
I loved 1 and 1 and 2. I think, and I want to see the new one. The new one got like a 96 on Rotten Tomatoes. People love that new Barbershop movie.
Scott, you strike me as the kind of person that in the real world would just love to go to a barbershop every Friday and sit around.
Oh,
and
get for sure. For sure. I love like a mm-hmm. like a local mm-hmm. joint of any kind. Call it a whatever, but some sort of local. The community always goes there. It's been there forever. Some hole in the wall. Sit down, talk to people you know. That's totally my vibe. I love that. Anyway, there's a few places like that around here. Okay, I got to go around the table and ask the question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Best, in your mind, best or grossest body horror moment of the movie?
Okay, hold on.
I just want to point out,
this is going to be followed by America's favorite new game. Mm-hmm. What was Scott disgusted by?
Yep.
Okay, so we got to start with us, though? Okay.
Yeah, we're starting with you.
Is it body gore or just anything that just freaked you out?
Body gore, Al Gore, don't care. Some kind of gore there.
Okay, body gore, Al Gore, throwing up roaches, whatever. Okay, so I'm going to say that the puking out the roach probably freaked you out the most. Even though
You first, Brian Dunaway. Like you, what grossed you out?
What grossed me out the worst?
Or freaked you out?
Oh, absolutely. It was the dick knob. That almost touched that thing. It was so close.
We can't use this doorknob ever.
Can't go that way.
The dick knob. That's redundant. You know, if you live in Europe or if you live in the British Isles, that's redundant. Okay. Yeah,
Brian, I've just checked with the judges. We would have also accepted Dildor.
Yeah, Dildor.
Okay, Dildor.
Dildor is pretty good.
Dildor, commander of the
Dildor,
fleet of Zoltar.
That's right. Dildor is a pretty good name. I don't want to draw.
Mine was the mustache ripping itself off of that guy's face and then flying around the room and then getting on the other guy's face.
Yeah, that was gross.
If you like that scene or if you freaked out by that scene, that is what Phantasm kind of brings to you. Yeah. It's all that weird, freaky crap.
Yeah,
like that is good.
Yep. Brian, what's yours? Dunaway.
No, Brian. Randy.
Sorry.
So mine, for whatever reason, is hands coming up from behind you while you're driving. I am like stopping this car and throwing down with whoever is touching me while I'm driving.
two things I want to say about that. A, if they make a Star Trek The Next Generation reboot, he's Data. You need to make him Data.
That guy.
I gotta go back in time 15 years, but okay.
Second, well, I don't know. I think it's fine. He's just a weird, skinny-looking dude. Make him a droid. It's fine. It's totally fine. I don't care how old he is. And then next up, he's the actor from the Hellboy. He played Abe Sapien.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's super cool, that guy. He does lots of that kind of makeup-y, tall guy, weird movement actor stuff. He's cool.
Okay.
I liked him a lot. He's the highlight.
The actor, because I know we've seen him in... have to have seen him in a bunch of things.
He's the highlight of the movie for me. I really liked him. Very interesting dude. I could have watched
him. And I just called him the creepiest thing in the movie for me. But
he's definitely creepy, no question.
And that there's more to it than just the hands wrapped around the neck while you're driving.
Mm-hmm. Doug Jones.
But one of the worm creatures goes down the top of the lead's shirt and then just stays there for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You'd be ripping that thing out of your
Absolutely.
Shirt.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. That whole thing was a little bit rough. All right. So mine is none of the ones you picked. Mine is...
Oh, let me predict what yours is.
Predicted
yours.
Here's a theme for it. Hold on. All right, go ahead.
All right, my prediction is the soy sauce fly flying into the dude's mouth.
That's good. Or the cheek. The cheek or the mouth?
No.
The mouth is I don't think he'd be as bothered by the cheek as he would be by the mouth.
They were runners up, but not quite.
Okay. All right.
To me, I was like, okay, well, that's not a...
Mine was the puke thing with the roach.
Close. It's on there. It's on the list.
Randy, do you have a prediction?
I couldn't help thinking when it happened that when the girl in the basement turned into a bunch of snakes, there's no way Scott would have run through the snakes.
Oh, I would. I don't mind snakes. Snakes are okay. Right, I have a big ball python.
It just crossed my mind I, while watching this movie with all the opportunities to think of Scott. Yeah,
it's my wife. My wife is that way with snakes, not me. I like them. I think snakes are cool.
I have I'm a snake.
I'm holding a snake right now, if you know what I'm saying.
Or a dick knob. Which is it?
A dildor.
By the way. By the way, I'm putting in Skype the greatest picture ever of Doug Jones, who was that, who was the alien in in this film.
All right.
This
is so if you're a listening listener, just click over to your Skype and it's the picture.
It's the first photo that comes up. It's not his IMDb photo, but it's the first photo you see under his IMDb photo.
I love that. That is a great. He's got his hand. He's wearing his little plaid.
He's the best.
Shirt with the bow tie.
Best in bow tie. Yeah.
He's the best.
Giving a big old wave at the Comic-Con.
I like this guy a lot. There's something about him I just am intrigued by. So whatever it is. Totally.
Okay. So anyway, sorry.
Anyway,
I'm just gonna go with the simple syringe filled with black fluid like that. I can't imagine Scott.
I didn't like that either. But I'll tell you, you've all missed it. It was exploding black man eyeball in the car.
Oh, that was pretty bad.
Oh yeah,
that was awesome.
Anything with eyes getting blown apart or ripped up or cut into or anything with your eyeball. Like I can't hardly watch First Contact because Picard at the beginning is dreaming about having a Borg thing pop through his eye. Ugh, that is so hard for me to watch.
Appleton did not go out well. It was fun, though, because he was a fun character all the way up to the eye-popping.
Yeah, I feel like he shouldn't have died. I feel like he should almost been the hero of this thing.
Appleton dies in the end.
Yeah, Appleton dies in the three-quarters of the way through. Is the name of the movie. Right. Also, we talked about Snake Girl. She's kind of a chicken in the bucket. Grimash Hellscream. That's all the notes I have.
The whole point of Snake Girl is lost on me. Like, she's somebody's girlfriend. I get that. And right. So then the alternate reality uses sort of an avatar of her to get them doing something. I don't know. This movie really doesn't make any sense. But then they actually get the real girlfriend, and she's window dressing for a little while.
Amy, the one-handed... Mm. Hand.
Yeah, they only needed her for the ghost door.
Or Amy needs. Come on. In this day and age, does anybody wear that weak kind of looking prosthetic for a hand? That was some pretty.
It was like the one from the one from Kingpin was a better rubber hand than that one.
Yeah, it's pretty weak.
Right, especially when it's all like at the end where you get kind of a closer look at it. It's humongous.
Yeah,
like it's like
it's like blown up like a cartoon hand. Stupid. Right.
But to answer Randy's question about what the scene was, what for me it was to establish a good portion of the characters because it established the most powerful character in the story. What is his name? I'm blanking on his name. The nighttime psychic guy who is saving the world.
We haven't even talked about the Marconi? Fact that Clancy Brown got complete short shrift.
Clancy Brown was
in this.
Albert Marconi. We're establishing Marconi is powerful. We're establishing that these guys have a background in the paranormal. We're establishing that people don't look, you see them one way, but they can be something else. Mm-hmm. So, there was a lot of things in that scene, but it's like, where are you going with this scene? What does it mean, meat man? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's very weird. And also, what did he actually do? Did he say something through the phone?
He did.
Okay. That's what made him.
Meat man was like, "So we meet again over the phone," and it was.
Yeah, but what did he say? Did he say hello, and then it just burned him up? Like I don't understand what he would have said in the 1 second he had to say it. But anyway, whatever. Clancy Brown was in this. I love Clancy Brown. He was barely freaking in this. Like 5 minutes with a bad
way
Russian
underused.
Accent. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was Tony Robbins. No, I just mean the character was kind of like based.
It
was
Tony Robbins. Based on Tony Robbins. Absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
They both have that jaw thing and all that. He's I love Clancy Brown. He's the voice of Mr. Krabs. How can you not love him? He's gave Andy Dufresne a real shit show when he was in prison. will be only one.
Can somebody explain, especially like an ammunitions expert, can somebody explain how a fly getting into a bullet makes it so that bullet bounces off you when it's shot at you?
It lessened the gunpowder is from what I was understanding.
But it just bounced like a rubber bullet. There's no way that would make any lesson of anything.
It was traveling very slow is what I was getting. I'm not saying it's realistic. I'm just saying that was the explanation.
It's horseshit is what it is. Because what they made it seem like is, maybe there's some evil in the fly, but the fly can't hit him because he's got black goo in him, so it's going to reflect off of him or something. That's all I could get from it.
It basically wetted the gunpowder.
It was a chicken a bullet is what it was.
That's great.
And it's so dumb. Oh my gosh, I hated that part.
You're
going to
get
emails
next week about how that really happens every week.
That a fly crawls into some bullets and saved somebody. Yeah.
The Tanner Gun Show is this weekend in Denver, and we always have an over-under on how many people are going to accidentally shoot themselves at the gun shows.
Does it happen?
But I'm going to go there and every year. But we're gonna go there and ask people, all right, so what would happen if in the bullet manufacturing process if a fly flew into the bullet?
You should ask. And record it.
Please record it. Please.
I would love to know.
You're running as you're being shot at.
We show them. Yeah. There'd be three people who accidentally shoot themselves at the gun show, and then there'd be one person who got shot intentionally at the gun show for asking a dumbass question.
That's the dumbest question I ever heard.
Just like all the ketchup we eat, there's flies in everything. Okay. It's all ground up and in there.
Right.
All right. Any other thoughts before we do clips?
Yeah. Are we going to have to explain to our children, because we already have to explain what rotary phones are and TV channel knobs, like changing the channel by walking up to the TV and turning a knob. Mm. Are we going to have to explain the same thing, that those holes where you plug in your iPod charger in the car, those actually used to have a cigarette thing in there that you could push in and it would get really hot and you could burn people with it?
Oh, I haven't seen one of those in a long time.
Well, another reason why we think it's from 99. Yeah,
it was in the past, your vape stick was in two parts and part of it was always attached to the car.
Yeah.
Okay,
your vape stick.
I want a Trump alert.
Oh, I can give you one. I happen to have one right here. Hold on. It's right here. You just have to click it.
I was thinking about this. I don't think we've ever talked about the trope of the shoe phone ever on this show.
Yes.
And in this case it was hot dog phone. Mm-hmm. But the shoe phone is always entertaining every single time.
Is it
when someone takes any object that isn't usually a phone and uses it as a phone? It's always good every time.
Is it every time? Is
it?
Yes.
Does that go back to Judy and the Sports Illustrated football phone? Is that where the origins of the
way back?
Maybe
it goes back a lot farther than that.
Get Smart, obviously, right?
Yeah. But even like, I'll bet there was some vaudeville show where someone thought it was funny to talk into a shoe. I'm going to say something controversial. I don't think it's ever funny when someone talks to a shoe.
Oh,
I don't find any entertainment in that.
All that hilarious. I didn't find it all hilarious except for the one scene where he pulls it down from his face and he looks at it when he loses connectivity.
Oh,
that kind of made me laugh a little bit.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
That's a good point. Yeah,
and making him dig for money is funny, and also that who puts a single bratwurst and a piece of lettuce in there? That's not a, that's a shitty hot dog
with no ketchup. Don't even ask.
Nothing. That was shitty. That's bad.
I love stuff like that. Like the minute he got that bratwurst, I was just like, I hope that becomes a phone.
Wow, really? That's great. You got exactly what you wished for. Exactly what you wished for. All right. Take a quick break, talk about a sponsor, and we'll be right back for clips and stuff. So stay tuned for that, you bunch of weirdos. Guys, I love Tommy John so much. I got my package in the mail, and I freaking love it. Do you know about Tommy John? Well, let me tell you. Tommy John is a revolutionary source for men's underwear and focuses on fit, fabric and function. Shirts that stay tucked, socks that stay up, underwear that keeps everything right where it's supposed to be, which every man approves of. You know you do. I do. Do you? I do. I know what I need. I know what I want. Keeps you comfortable. Designed and developed using smart fabrics that are breathable, lightweight, non-piling, quick drying, and warming for cold weather conditions, which we're about to have real bad here where I live. Wide selection of styles. Undershirts that actually stay tucked. Did I mention those? How often does that happen? They're riding up, falling out. Oh, it's the worst. The one I'm wearing right now, like literally right now from Tommy John, is not doing that. And my socks aren't slipping either. Yeah, that's right. I'm wearing those too. Tommy John provides the best guarantee. If their underwear isn't the best you've ever worn, it's on them. They'll pay for it. All right. So that's how it goes. It fits great. It feels great. Compared to other undies I've had, nothing has come close. And I'm not kidding about that. I'm not just saying that because they're sponsoring. I actually mean it. As a special offer to our listeners, you can get 20% off your first order by going to TommyJohn.com/FilmSack. That's T-O-M-M-Y, John, J-O-H-N.com. So TommyJohn.com/FilmSack and use the code from FilmSack. You also get free shipping in the U.S. for any order over 50. That's TommyJohn.com/FilmSack, promo code FilmSack for 20% off. Huge thanks to Tommy John for making me feel comfortable.
Yes. Please do clips.
Okay, I'm doing clips now. There's no stopping it. It's happening. Wait a minute. I moved around to do something. Here we go. This is some sort of man saying a thing. Oh, I saw a man do a thing.
My name is David Wong. I once saw a man's kidney grow tentacles, tear itself out of a ragged hole in his back, and go slapping across my kitchen floor. But that's another story.
Yeah, so again, one of those things we didn't get to witness. Another story.
Well, and it's setting up, because I think the movie wanted to set up that there's lots of adventures and stories that they go on. And there wasn't there like a TV series or something planned that was going to happen?
Oh, really?
Was there?
That kind of sort of happened or something?
Oh.
Yeah.
I would have, you know what? I would have liked that better, I think. I think the idea of a weirdo thing a week kind of thing would be all right.
Right.
Yeah, basically just be their travels in all these other dimensions, like the Galaxy Quest outfit dimension. And, right.
And that's like how it was written. You know, it was written as a web series, so it's serialized. It makes sense.
Well, here's how you also know that it was 99, I guess.
I thought my mom was bad because she wouldn't let me watch Space Ghost.
I guess that's about it's about the time you would be old enough to look back on a time where you couldn't watch the original Space Ghost, not Coast to Coast.
Right.
That would have been like
99. All of a sudden, I'm doing a Christian Slater impersonation.
Yeah, before he got good at Mr. Robot. Shame, yeah. All right, here's Marconi.
Marconi.
Just played his name there, I guess.
Marconi. Okay.
And for a while during the movie, I couldn't figure out if Marconi was actually existed or if he was something that they had made up.
Well,
projecting.
He never took his sunglasses off, so I would assume there was like, you know, bug eyes, something
stars
going on.
Stars in his eyes.
Yeah. Like, you know, remember
galaxies.
You remember when they tore the glasses off of Doc Brown, the actor, right, I can think of his name all of a sudden? What's his name?
Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd. Christopher Lloyd in the animated thing. Roger Rabbit.
Frame Roger Rabbit.
Yeah. That's what I always think when people wear sunglasses the entire time. If you yanked them off, there'd be big cartoon bug eyes in there.
or no eyes, yep. Or one right. Eye, yeah. Or
yeah.
Something.
Something I expected from him, but we never got it. Here's a whispering snake lady.
It's my boyfriend. He won't leave me alone. He's been harassing me for the past week. I'm terrified to go home.
Miss
Morse.
Ugh. I don't like her. She's gross.
Yeah.
Something about her. Something about that kind of didn't like it. Here's Meat Man.
You disappoint me.
He's just yelling that since you disappoint me.
You disappoint me.
That's what meat sounds like when it talks.
Who puts meat in a freezer?
Freezer
with no wrappings. Who just puts meat in a freezer?
That's crazy.
Right. Exactly. This and, people and, who like freezer burn.
Yeah.
Right. And if the power's out with the lights, why is the freezer running?
Yep.
I'm out of here.
Yep. I agree. You don't have hamburger patties just laying in there like that. That's ridiculous.
When they opened it up and one of the meats was a whole brain, that's when I was done.
Yeah.
So I'm like, closing that,
yep.
Wrapping some tape around it.
Not eating there.
Zip code.
Never going to dinner at their house. That sort of stuff. Here's I got an interesting clip here. This is from Brian Ibbett's prom. This is actually a report on how it went. Okay, so here you go.
She was lashing you with a whip made of knotted penises.
Jeez, Brian, you had a rough night that night.
It was rough. Tying all those.
Yeah, making them knotted. Because they were knotted, right? Like,
yeah, I know. I had to tie them all together. It took forever.
Yeah, that's really weird. Speaking of weird, here's a weird thing to say.
Hey, you're Amy, right? Do you want a beer?
No, my dog just... It's some Jamaican guy. I've got to go find him.
Yeah, it made no sense. At least at the time, made no sense. And then they never referenced the bitten Jamaican man again. They showed the Jamaican guy, but they never talked about getting bit.
Well, yeah, they did. That's how
the dog got Bark, the soy
that's
sauce.
That's how Bark Lee, which, by the way, I love that name.
That is a great dog name, yes.
Bark Lee is, that's how he got his powers. So I was able to communicate with everything and how he was able to orchestrate the entire...
Because he bit him. I forgot. They did show that at the end. Yeah. All right.
I'm really proud of myself.
He was bitten by a radioactive Jamaican.
Ren's like, I saw that. I got it.
I caught that. Yeah. I didn't catch most of the stuff in this movie, but I caught that one.
Yeah. I wish there was a chicken. We had said there was a jerk chicken in this movie. All right. Here's a, what is this? Oh, take the sauce.
Take the sauce.
Take the sauce.
Take the sauce.
All right.
Take the sauce.
Okay. Take the sauce.
He really wants you to take the sauce.
Take the sauce.
All right. Fine. All right. Here's the new Data, Roger North.
My name is Roger North.
That's just, you could totally Data up that guy.
That's a name.
Yeah, his name's Roger North.
Yeah, it's funny. I like that line.
It's the guy grabbing you, Randy, while you're trying to drive. Grabbing your face. What? I don't know. Here's Giamatti losing it.
Oh, shit. What the shit is that?
I'll tell you, man, Giamatti did some pretty good acting in this movie. I mean, yeah, it was over top and silly, but there was times I was really believing that he was freaked out.
He was listed as, he had an executive producer credit on this thing. So, it was more than
and
just
And I am absolutely certain that if you made me look at a cage and there's that thing in it, and then I looked again and it wasn't there, I'd be making all those same sounds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'd be saying worse things. I don't know what I'd do. And the idea that you can only see
I'd be trying to figure out at what point in my peripheral vision it disappears. Like, all right, let me try this. So let me look out of the corner of my eye. Let me slowly turn my head and see at what point it disappears.
Oh, that's so scientific of you. I would just I would see it and just run and be done with this whole mess.
You need a cage with smaller holes in the bars for me to get even close to that thing.
That's true.
You guys are more like Appleton. It's like, this shit, I'm going to burn everything down. Excuse my language, but that's what you basically said.
Wow.
Beep, blurp. Beep, burp, blurp. So here's
that was at 1 hour and 28 minutes. Scott, you're welcome.
Oh, I marked it.
Suddenly we have a dick door in the middle of our show.
I marked it. Here's what I get when I go eat Chinese.
That soy sauce feeling.
I get that soy sauce feeling when I'm there.
You do. I
MSG,
I've had that.
Baby.
Yeah. Here's a great sound effect of a gun running out of ammo. I like that. I don't know why. It's some nice
that's
Foley
like
work.
That's like the flick the light switch a million times because the light burned out on the first time.
Yeah,
that's
and about
you think
right.
It's going to magically come back after 4 or 5 flicks of the switch.
That's about it. Here's a weird groan. Just thought I'd share that with you. Thought that was weird. Ugh, I don't like that at all. And it's a ghost knob.
It's a ghost knob.
Okay.
It was so stupid. And they only needed the girl for her phantom hand. It was so dumb.
Right.
All right. Yeah. Here's Clancy doing Russian.
This is an experimental Cold War weapon designed to take down a city the size of Moscow.
It's pretty bad.
Too much hassle.
Too much hassle. And then finally, one other Brian Ibbett link. This is great.
Twofer.
This is Brian Ibbett's date after thing. This is after the date. Okay. So this is what she reported.
Your wiener is even smaller in person.
There you go.
I love
she had a really deep voice.
Yeah. Right. I love that scene because there's a lot of comedic elements going on in that point because the camera is staying on John, who is being portrayed in this world as having a large penis. And Dave is getting the short end of the stick because they're comparing him constantly. Mm-hmm. And he jabs him there with that.
Yep. Totally jabbed
with that
him.
Little wow. insult.
I didn't catch any of the penis.
Yeah, and then he was.
I didn't catch any penis in this movie.
And then there was a Ghostbusters moment where he kind of peered into his mind, and he said, and he was thinking about other men's penises, and we were still focused on John. But then we flashed.
We're talking
back.
About the movie.
Yeah. Did you watch this on Netflix, or do you have the Blu-ray extended edition?
This is on Netflix, man. There's a lot of context there.
Brian goes. Context. Brian is into the subtext. He finds it.
All right.
Especially when penises
my opening.
I don't know. I don't go looking for penises in movies. I don't know.
But somehow they always find you.
Yeah, always they find always you. Find yeah, me. The penises find you. By the way, so here's that same guy doing this.
We will never be slaves.
Yeah, he's your Grimash Hellscream.
Kevin Richardson?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Is it? Wait. No, I don't have
Kevin,
his name.
Kevin David Richardson or Kevin Michael Richardson?
There it
Richardson.
Is. That's the guy. He's cool.
There was a gratuitous number of bare breasts late in this film. However, they didn't seem like the usual casting.
They weren't
like,
congruous. They weren't congruous. They were like...
Right. They let a lot of...
Yeah.
They accepted all extras.
There was variety.
I wouldn't say that.
Come on in.
I wouldn't say all extras. Like it was there
wasn't even a Buddha in there.
Okay. Hey. I was trying to make a point about how it didn't look like a parade of strippers. Right. And you took it too far away from parade of strippers.
Well, they put the strippers in front for sure.
It was very Zardoz.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's a good way to put it, actually. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There was, look, we're not here. We're all white men comparing ladies' boobs. But there was one on one side where gravity had not been as kind, is all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. There may have just been a little bit more pull on the flesh of that lady than the other ones.
Thanks, Scott.
You betcha.
Maybe that's where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, it's maybe. Could have been. All right, those are your things there. So now we got the checklist. The Film Sack checklist goes like this. Nonsense for nonsense sake, check. Chinese kid dies first, check. And ghost hand, check. Star Trek stuff. Ooh, we have some connections. The doctor, let's see. Wait, where is it? Oh, sorry. Kim Robert Koski played the large man follower. I don't know what that is. He was a stunt double for Jeffrey Combs in 3 episodes of the Enterprise thing.
Oh, really?
Yep. So that's
cool.
You're
standing for Jeffrey Combs.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. That's pretty good. He also did some stuff for Into Darkness and First Contact, some stunt stuff mainly. Kevin Michael Richardson was Korak Into Darkness, provided voiceovers in this and many Trek video games. Then you got Daniel Roebuck. He played Large Man. Again, I don't know who that is.
A large man in this film.
TNG, he played Jaren in the episodes Unification 1 and 2. Clancy Brown was Marconi. He played Zobral in the episode Desert Crossing and Enterprise. And then Brian Tyler wrote the music, and on Enterprise wrote and conducted the music scores for the episodes Kanemar Aim Regeneration. Not the "It's been a long time." Not that. Finally, soundtrack grade. We're going to give it a DR for I don't remember. I don't remember what it was like.
Yeah,
was it good?
Point.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was good during when John's band was playing and there was an interaction with the Jamaican. That was actually good. But other than that, the music was pretty non-existent.
Well, there you have it.
In my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Do you have an opinion there, Ibbot, on the music?
Yeah. I didn't like John's screamo band, and
yeah, that's
I screamo even band. Tell. But what about couldn't even follow tell up? What about the? I know the song itself was kind of weird.
Yeah, well, it was an opportunity to have a really kind of comedic bit, mm-hmm. and it sounded like the song was about hair. And it's like, oh, if you would have made the song a little clearer to understand, I think it would have been pretty damn funny and enjoyable. But
yeah, they blew it, yelled. And he had him yelling in it, and I can't stand that Dutch metal
and
yell.
They kept referring it to as a rave. It was an out. I don't understand. Yeah. At first I thought. Yeah,
that was a jamboree.
That's what I'm thinking.
A jamboree.
You know what a rave is?
Yeah, we've been to them. We know.
That's what made me think of another thing. I was like, was this 1999? Do we know what a rave was then? Were we like classifying everything as a rave?
There were glow sticks in 1999.
By the way, this is. I don't know why I just thought of this, but somebody sent me an email saying, or was it a tweet? Maybe you guys saw it. It said, "Listening to Kroll." Because that's our first episode, and said,
"Yeah,
what is this with this Bibbit thing? I sure hope it doesn't."
Bibby.
Bibby. And he says, "I sure hope it doesn't hold." I'm like, all right, skip ahead 7 years, jackass. Yeah. We didn't.
I don't think it even held for one episode. Like
none of us remembered it.
Episode 2. Oh, I don't think we ever did it again. Thank God.
I don't really think he's a jackass. I'm just saying. I don't want any more angry emails.
That's all right. He won't figure it out for another 7 years.
He won't hear it for 3 years.
Yeah.
Like 5 years or something.
All right. It's Twitter post time, where you guys sum it up in 140 characters or less. Now you can include an image and it won't count against your characters. I don't know if you heard about that, but that's the new thing. Yeah.
Hold on. I got to make a GIF.
Yeah, make a GIF.
An emoji. Put an emoji in there?
Sure can, as long as it's the form of a GIF or a photo or some sort of unit. All right. Here you go.
Oh, crap. I posted on Instagram.
Oh, shit. That doesn't work as well. Yeah, that's unlimited characters.
Thanks,
all right.
Twitter.
People that write giant posts on Instagram freak me out. I don't trust those people when they do that. Anyway, let's start first with Randy Jordan.
John doesn't die at the end. There, I just saved you 95 minutes.
Mm. Yeah, I still say he's dead, but It's weird. It's left weird.
He's dead and he's not dead. He's Schrodinger's John.
Yeah, Schrodinger's John. The only one willing to take his shirt off in this movie.
Schrodinger's John.
Yeah.
In a box. Schrodinger's John.
Doorknob. Right. Ryan. Brian Dunaway.
John dies at the end. Maybe. Also, your wiener is even smaller in person. Attached dick knob pick. Doesn't count against
Michael. Well, there you go. You just added a photo. Perfect. That's
the first thing I did is post that on our Slack group.
I saw that, yes. Yeah,
it's hard to ignore. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
John dies at the end. John and Dave, another pair in a long line of doofus pairs that get thrown into a supernatural world they have to maneuver their way out of. They're less stonery than Bill and Ted, less oblivious than Wayne and Garth, and less hungry than Harold and Kumar.
Some of that as in picture form, because yeah. That seemed kind of...
Yeah, Jeff.
I used a lot of one-letter abbreviations for words.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
You probably wrote the whole thing in notes, screen captured it,
and then put the whole thing as a GIF.
I've seen a lot of people do that. It's weird.
It's really remarkable watching this movie, how much better Tucker and Dale is. Like, it made me want to watch Tucker and Dale immediately.
Good call.
I've never seen that.
That's a great movie. It's real good. And it's this thing where it's the two guys like you were just describing, but it's really well done. It's awesome. I love that movie. Look at this, everyone. Hold on. There it is. I got the alternate titles here in my hand right here. It says John Lives at the End or All the Boobs. I don't know. I stick with John Dies at the End. I think that's fine to stay with.
All the Boobs.
All the Boobs.
And those are just the actors.
We got an email from two emails today. One from a short one from someone who did not include their name, and their email address was scattered weird. And I couldn't
no credit for you.
So no credit. But it says, with all the hype around the new 2017 Jumanji, is there a lot of hype around it?
I know The Rock's in it. People are excited. I mean, when I went to IMDb the other day, it was advertisement.
Does it star The Rock?
Yes.
Okay, then it's hype. Yeah.
It literally does. It's The Rock in there. He says, I was wondering if the first movie has ever been considered by us for sacking. It looks like it left streaming in March, but maybe back sometime. I don't know. Maybe.
I did. I thought we should sack it.
I thought Jumanji was boring when I saw it.
I liked it. I liked that and Zathura. I liked both of them, and I think they're fun.
They're Joe, what's his name, direction. I forget his name. He did the third Jurassic Park movie.
Jojo
Dancer, your life is calling. What?
I can't think of his name, but anyway, his movies always leave me a little flat and uninterested. I don't know why, but this new thing.
Did you see Zathura?
It was okay. It was all right. I liked it better than Jumanji, if that's what you're asking.
That's exactly what I'm asking.
Yeah, yeah. I liked it better than Jumanji.
To the point exactly. Maybe I should just asked it.
Yeah.
John Johnston. Joe Johnston.
Joe Johnston. That's it. Gee, what a hard name for me to remember. Johnston. Jeez, you'd think I could pull that one out. But the thing about Zathura is that was early Favreau, right? Before you got Iron Man. So
wasn't that also early, what's his name from Hunger Games? And what's his name? I can't remember.
Oh, there's a Hunger Games kid in that?
Oh, the Chase. No, this guy was Chase.
He's the one that plays
the blonde kid, Pinker, right?
Peter?
Peter, right? Penis. What's his name? Peener?
Penis, that's what it was. Pita. Yes.
Pita. Oh, Pita. That makes me want to punch somebody hearing that name.
It does.
I hate it.
Josh
so
Hutcherson.
Yeah.
The name Pita from those movies is the worst name ever.
Yeah, it's awful. It's either
terrible.
Because
you don't know if they're saying Peter and they're just all from Boston.
Yeah.
Right.
Or you're eating a nice, you know, half cut Greek food. Yeah.
Falafel or
Euro or Gyro or whatever the hell people call it. It's always been gyro to me. Why do people say gyro?
One says that. It's a hero.
Well, only if you're saying it to annoy somebody. I say it all the time.
It's not hero, right?
It's gyro.
Yeah, it's gyro.
Y-E-R-O is pronunciation.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I don't know. We may have to look it up.
If you order a hero sandwich, you're getting something totally different.
Yeah, you're not getting what you thought you were
getting. Delicious.
Ooh, a hero sounds good too. Hi, FilmSack Squad. Was listening to FilmSack.
Hi.
Was listening to FilmSack 304 on the XXX State of the Union. It was briefly taken back in time. This is Dylan from DC, by the way.
Crap! Did we create some kind of time machine?
He says, "Don't worry. I made sure I was naked first in the early days of Extra Life Radio." For reference, I'm currently 26 years old, and I remember listening to ELR around episode 40. Not to make you feel old, but that means I have officially been listening to Scott Johnson's sultry voice for half of my life. What a scary thought that is. No wonder I call movie shows randomly shout, gosh dang it, and always forget where I put my car keys. So Scott, and of course Brian Dunaway too, don't do drugs. Thanks for making me the man I am today, for better or for worse. And Ibbot and Randy, don't feel left out. I have a special place in my brain holes for you too. Bring back the O though, Dylan and DC.
I remember Dylan.
Aww. Yeah, I do too, kind of. Yeah. Half his life. I don't like thinking about that. That's weird, dude.
There are people who've written into FilmSack or into TMS who've, you know, like 15 and 16 year olds who've been listening to us for
they can drink
half
now.
Their life just on that show. Yeah,
they can drink now. So
right.
Weird.
We brought you into manhood.
Thank you for your emails. Always glad to get them. They're great. So send them. You can send them to filmsack@gmail.com. Or you can voicemail us 801-471-0462. Our next movie is, I don't know.
Crossroads.
No.
The Addams Family, I believe, is our next.
That's great. Oh, yeah, Addams Family. The first one. Right? Where Christina Ricci's like four or whatever. They're real young in that.
She's chained to Samuel Jackson, right? Is that in this movie?
Right, that's the one. That's the one.
Okay, good.
Yeah, the snakes, they're going to moan.
Yeah.
We're there.
Let me just verify. I believe that is correct.
Yes, that's correct.
Addams Family, then Pandemic, then Nightbreed.
By the way, the Twitter feed Scott proclaims has one of the greatest quotes of Scott Johnson ever.
What is it?
From last week's FilmSack. I'm going to just paraphrase it. It's a welcome to the FilmSack 304, The Longest Yard. FilmSack 304. Yeah, I said that already. And then he tags every quote, and it says from FilmSack 305.
Wow, that's great.
That's funny.
So big stuff coming up, though. I'm looking forward to these.
Yeah.
Addams Family is going to be interesting given time. I just wonder how kind time has been to that movie. I remember really liking it at the time, and then I don't know so much now.
But speaking of Christopher Lloyd,
Nick Tortelli in that? The guy from I like him.
Yeah, he's the banker, right? The investment banker.
Yeah,
in that one.
That guy's great. He's
Colasanto. What is the guy's name?
I think that's it. Is that Nicholas the name?
Colasanto.
Something like that. He's also really good in Blood Simple, the first Coen Brothers film. If anyone ever gets a minute to see that, he's fantastic in that.
Yeah, those are good.
Anyway, so that's all coming. I think most of all of these I'm looking forward to is probably Nightbreed, because Nightbreed was
Coach from Cheers was Nicholas Colasanto.
Oh, well, who's Nick Tortelli then?
He was married to Rhea Perlman on the Cheers.
Well, then he married the blonde lady that tried to gouge.
Oh, yeah. He was married to Casey Kasem's wife.
Yeah, Casey Kasem was trying to gouge Casey Kasem for all his money. Dan Hedaya.
That's a guy.
Okay, I'm looking at him now. Well, he looks
different. Not a good IMDb picture.
No. I like him, though.
Yeah, I do too.
All right, anyway, so that's coming up. Nightbreed is one of those movies I feel like I've seen in video stores my whole life and always wanted to see. So
I'm excited about you guys seeing that, because I watched that about 2 months ago. I had never seen it, had heard a lot of things.
I have never heard of that film. I'm so looking forward to it.
I had fun.
Well, I'm looking forward to it.
More weirdness. I'm glad we're not doing it back-to-back with this one, because it's some weird stuff.
Well, there it is. So that's all coming up. Watch for that coming soon, everybody. Thank you all for listening and being here. The website is filmsack.com. You can, once again, leave your voicemails at 801-471-0462 or email us, filmsack@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter. Leave us reviews wherever you might get your podcasts. That always helps us in ways that you just don't even know. So just take my word for it and go do that.
I don't even know.
So that's it. What else? Is that all we have? I think that's it. One final word.
Take the sauce.
There you go. Take the sauce. We'll see you guys next week for our Addams Family episode. And I can't find any of my clips. This is why this is taking me so long. Okay, there you go. For me, for Brian, and for Randy, we'll see you next time.
So we meet again, Marconi.
Dick doorknob.
Too much hernia slob.
Too much ass.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Woo! Take the sauce.
All right.
We did it.